Sci-fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio Produced podcast. One believer, one skeptic, one guest. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get two bonus episodes a week. And this episode is produced by our good friend, Todd Donald Show, who pledged for a year. So that's very nice. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's radical, dude. Todd Donald, thank you. Go check out his show, his podcast, Todd Donald Show.
Yeah, but in the meantime, why don't you stay here and listen to our podcast? let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our good friend. It's comedian Abed Gase.
Hey, howdy do.
What's up, hey, dude? you were muted there, and I was anxious that you were going to forget to unmute.
It's because I'm now experienced in the Zoom world of how to do these.
Oh, geez. I never mute. I just don't do it.
Because I also, like, I was smoking, so I didn't want to, like, you to hear
that. Oh, got it. Abed, how are you? It's been a while.
It has been a while. I mean, a lot has happened, right?
Mm.
Since me, kind of just like we're talking, like at a party, or just catching up.
Oh, that's been, yeah, over a year for sure.
Well,
you were living, weren't you living with your dad for a long time or something?
I'm still living with my dad, yeah.
Wait, is he in LA now?
Yeah, he lives with me.
Oh, I didn't know that. What, so did he like buy a place and move down here?
No, I mean, it's a saga. I mean, he is actually, oh God. I mean, he's got like three houses, but he's staying with me. He wants me to think that he has no money. And I think he's trying to get me to sell my condo. So it's like a plan of his that is going wrong because I won't leave. So it's like kind of stressful.
So he's just like leaving dirty dishes in the sink and doing a bunch of annoying roommate things.
He's not a bad roommate. He cleans up after himself. It's just always very dominating, very telling me what to do and trying to get me to lead me towards wanting to move out, to leave LA.
To where?
I think he wants me to move in with my mom who lives in Wisconsin.
Okay.
That's his plan. I don't know what his plan is, but he's just not going anywhere, I think. I'm stuck with him until I can get like a high paying job.
All right. Well, good luck. I also would like a high paying job.
Well, it's a daily struggle, but I think it's a lot easier than it was hard at first because it was almost like you wake up and you're 17 again, you know?
Yeah, I wrote a feature once about a guy who has to move back in with his parents and then he just reverts back to himself in high school and starts doing a bunch of high school shit.
That's kind of what I'm going through, yeah. I mean, it's like when I was a kid and I was in my, like, porn, hoping they would catch me, you know? Like, you're scared.
You were hoping they would catch you?
No, hoping they wouldn't catch me.
Oh.
That was like, oh my God, they're going to walk in any minute.
Did you buy a bunch of bottle rockets to set off?
No, but I have like an almost amazingly perfect way to smoke weed for him not to smell.
You think there's people out there that they want their parents to catch them?
Oh yeah, there's some fetish. There's some incest fetishes out there.
No, I wouldn't want him to catch me. I mean, look, it's hard enough to smoke weed and drink without him catching me. That's really difficult, but I've got it down to a science. So
you can't drink either. Is he Muslim?
He's Muslim. Yeah. Can't gamble. So no lottery tickets.
So how do you smoke weed without him knowing?
Well, there's a system I have. I mean, if you take a paper towel roll and you stuff it with dryer sheets. So when you smoke, you breathe the smoke through that. And yeah. So that'll eliminate the smell.
Yeah. I did that in high school.
Yes, I turn on a fan and I have the window open. So that way the smell is not like in the house.
And then you just have to and then you just talk about how much laundry you keep doing. Oh, I wash the sheets again.
No, there's like, dude, there's so many laundry sheets, man. It doesn't matter. Once you buy like a pack, they're like 200, you have them for 3 years.
Get some candles.
I should look into candles.
Candles are fun and they smell good. There's no drawback to getting a bunch of candles.
Does he follow you on social media?
No, I blocked him on everything. But you know what's funny is like everyone is – every time I talk to him, they go, why aren't you making that a show? Why aren't you filming you and your dad talking? like your interactions, because like they're like, I would watch that. I would watch that in a heartbeat.
I mean, it's like, the closest thing to Perfect Strangers.
Pretty much. That is our lives. You know, it's like, I mean, well, he's the Balky, I think.
Yeah. Well, there was that Shit My Dad Says from like 2010, right?
You know what that guy's doing now? He's the showrunner for Harley Quinn.
Oh, good for him.
But I'm like,
I'm not seething with jealousy.
I kind of am. I mean, that's not fair.
No, I 100% am. That is not fair.
I don't get how he would get that job. Like, he likes Batman or something. That's weird.
The thing that a lot of people don't get about the business, and maybe I'm talking about you, maybe I'm talking about me, is that, like, you got to get people to look at you. Doesn't matter how good your idea is.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, maybe he was always really into Batman, and he deserves this.
Yeah. So like whatever you can do to get people to look at you and gain notoriety or popularity through that, then you do what you want.
I guess I watched that show and I was very like disappointed is the thing.
Oh, well, it was a horrible show. It was a funny Twitter account.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Harley Quinn. I don't like Harley Quinn.
Oh, that's an actual show that's already on?
Yeah, and it's in the style. I heard it was good and it's in the style of Batman the Animated Series, but I started watching it and it's kind of bad. I don't like it.
Okay.
That's an unpopular opinion, though. But I love Batman the Animated Series, like, so much.
Oh, yeah,
it's great. This show feels like they're just doing every cool, hip, new thing with the characters, and there's not any kind of nuance to it. People love it.
Like, they're all on skateboards now and stuff?
Like, Joker's complaining about Wi-Fi, like, what we're going through. Like, they have a scene where Joker's upset about the Wi-Fi, you know, like, or he's like, what's the password? And I'm like, that's fucking lame. Like, ugh. Joker would not give a fuck about Wi-Fi.
And he would know everything, and he would say he's a smart guy. He would set it all up.
The Joker I love wouldn't be upset about Wi-Fi. It makes him look like a Nimrod. Like, he would just be, who gives a shit about Wi-Fi? I'm the Joker. Like, I like to go around pulling off people's heads for fun. He doesn't care about Wi-Fi.
Yeah, some people just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, here, hook me up to the Wi-Fi or you'll die. You know, that's a lame parallel, but it's like, yeah, he doesn't need to go through the stress. It's like, here, you do this.
When I saw that, I tried watching the show and I saw that scene. I turned it off. I was like, that's not Joker. Like, it doesn't feel like Joker. I'm so, like, I hated the movie, that new movie. I did, because I'm like, that's not Joker.
Are you excited for the Snyder cut of Justice League?
Fuck no. I hated that.
It's 4 hours long.
Yeah, but that movie was bad. Why would I want to see 4 more hours? I mean, 3 more hours.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to watch it. I'll probably watch it in like 4 installments.
You'll probably be like, wait a minute.
Well, I mean, maybe it was bad because 3/4 of it was cut.
You'd think that.
I doubt it.
But that's never the case, right? It's usually, I see why they cut this.
Yeah, yeah. This is superfluous. It does nothing for the story.
Although Lord of the Rings did it right, because I think those are great, those extended ones.
Yeah.
I haven't seen all the Lord of the Rings yet. Is it worth it?
Oh, yeah. They're fucking great. I like them. I like them a lot. Willie, you will dig them.
It's too long.
That's how I felt.
No, they're good. They're good. Here's the thing, Wade. I was like you. I didn't like them at first, or I did. And then I went through a long period of not liking them. And then I revisited like recently, and they're pretty great. If you just get away from all the fan stuff and not even think about it, it's just a movie. Pretty good stuff. I like
all right.
The stuff where Gollum, they tell his backstory, is good. That scene is exquisite.
Well, let's move into other fantasy realms, conspiracy theories and stuff like that. You've been on the show before, but it's been so long. We've got to redo your WoW scale.
I know. It's been too long that I don't remember. Oh, I remember one thing that I didn't believe in Bigfoot.
Well, save it for the WoW scale, please. That's question number two. I will ask you that question after question number one. For those of you who don't know, WoW scale stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz, and then we grade you from a 0 to 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Abed Gaith, are you ready to get Wade on the WoW scale?
Yes, I'm ready to get willied on the Wade scale.
WoW scale.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
Okay, here we go. First question, three-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes to all.
Okay, what's your idea of aliens? Are they bipedal?
I mean, I almost feel like they're not in a being form. I think they're sort of like a floating consciousness.
Okay, interesting. But they're not from Earth.
No, they're not from Earth.
Okay, where are they from? The moon?
I mean, I would love, but I don't think, I think it's beyond our comprehension where they're from. They're from everywhere and nowhere.
Oh, I lied to you. Bigfoot is question number three. So here comes question number two. Do you believe in ghosts?
Yes, I do. I've experienced ghosts. So I mean, I didn't see a ghost, but I heard ghosts.
Okay, tell that story quickly.
I did tell that story.
No, that's right. Say
it
again.
Give us the summation.
Oh, the summation. I was at a friend's house, Matt Danner. I think he's been on the show.
Oh, sure. I remember this.
Yes. And then I woke up and basically I heard stuff in the attic. And then I woke up in the morning and I heard the sound of ghosts leaving. Just this like sound of like sucking up, like, and then it was like, there was no sounds from.
Pretty sloppy ghost to not even be able to leave without making a noise.
Probably.
All right. Question number three. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
I mean, I would like to, because Bigfoot's cool. Like, I love the movies, but I just think that's too far fetched. It's like, there's no Bigfoot. We would see him, right? Me and Wade would be hanging out coffee shop and he'd walk by.
Yeah, we would be hiking and we'd go to the coffee shop that's up there in Griffith Park, and then Bigfoot would walk by.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is that people do see him.
Yeah, but those people are probably wrong. They're probably just, they want attention.
There's a lot of uncredible people seeing him also.
If there's anything about us three, it's that we do not crave attention in any way.
No, but why isn't it someone like John Lithgow sees one? Why is it always some nut who's like out in the woods? It's like, ah, he's real. Oh, yeah.
Well, if John Lithgow saw one, take away the John Lithgow part, and you're just referring to the fact that just a regular guy, right?
Yeah. No, I'm saying a regular guy as opposed to someone who you go, oh, it's Al Franken.
Yeah. If a regular guy sees Bigfoot, it doesn't make the news, because like not all of them are like going to get the attention for seeing him.
Yeah. I don't know.
Really, stop trying to convince Ahmed that there's a Bigfoot. We all know there's not a Bigfoot. Ahmed, question number four. Do you believe in psychics?
Wow. See, that's a yes and no question, because I think there are people that can tap into ESP and psychic energy, but then there's a lot of phonies. And I think the phonies outweigh the ones that are actually psychic.
Have you ever been to a psychic?
No. I'm kind of scared too, that like they'll have like a stroke or something.
They would have a stroke. They would look inside your mind and be like, "We can't handle this."
It's why I'm afraid to be
hypnotized. It's too crazy in here.
I'm afraid to be hypnotized for the same reason. Like, I don't know what demons are in my psyche that are going to just come out. You know what I mean?
Have you ever shaved your head? Do you know if you have 666 tattooed on your head?
No, I've checked it there.
Okay, so that's good. So you know that you're not an Antichrist.
Well, I mean,
yeah, I watched that movie and checked.
Yeah, what if you found that? What if you found some weird tattoo on your head? Not a tattoo, but like a marking that looked like that.
Oh, yeah, that I'm some sort of promised child to like.
Well, wouldn't it be really fun to have a baby and then immediately tattoo 666 on their head? And
that
then
is
just
a cool
wait,
fucking prank.
Wait for them to.
It's definitely happening. You know,
I mean, I think that's if I'm the kid, of course, I'm mad growing up. Like, this sucks. But then when I'm older, yeah. Like, that is an awesome prank, though. You got to hand it to
it's them. A great prank.
Yeah, like he really committed to that one. You know.
Okay, last question. Are you superstitious?
A little bit. I'm a little bit superstitious. I wish I wasn't, but I found myself knocking on wood sometimes. I don't know why. It's just there's part of me that's superstitious.
Yeah, I'm the same way. So that knocks you down. You were going to be at like a three. I'm going to put you at like a two. I feel like this scale is skewed for Wade, you know?
Am I leaning more towards you, Wade?
You're kind of halfway, but because you're superstitious, you're more of a me than a Willie.
You know what that might be? That might be, Wade, the last time I was on the show, I think I was more like Willie, but now I'm a little bit like I'm half and half. I think I can be very skeptical, but also very much I want to believe.
Yeah. No, you're a perfect guest.
It comes from, I think, being older, maybe.
Just level-headed, open to ideas.
Are you drinking a Clamato?
No, it's called Mystic Reef. It was cheap. I don't even know what it is. It's like a black cherry.
Is it a seltzer? What is it? Oh, hard seltzer.
It's like a black cherry hard seltzer. Never had it before. It was on sale.
All right, Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, is it time to reevaluate the schedule classifications of drugs? All these hallucinogens that are healing people are still illegal. Did we get to the bottom of this? Did we hear all of our drug stories? Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Well, okay, so this is like sort of apropos for where we are as a country. I think Oregon legalized shrooms. And I think maybe Canada did too.
And did so they really? Did San Francisco and Denver.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you two done shrooms?
No.
I've done shrooms once, but I was on ecstasy. And then I've microdosed a few times.
Now, microdosing, because I'm unfamiliar, but so that's just basically like getting high because you feel something, but you're not exactly tripping.
Yeah, yeah.
See, yeah. That's weird to me. I'm like, if you want to go for it, go all the way.
But
it's nice. It's like if you still want to like get work done or something, it's like.
Yeah, but that would be frustrating because I'd be like, well, I like that. I want more of it.
But the microdosing is supposed to be more of a healing your body thing and getting your mind to work better. You know, like it's not to go hallucinate. It's to supposedly these things like.
See, I might be old, Willie, but back in my day, microdose at all. I mean, you just did shrooms. You did a shitload. You tried to like go all out. It seems like a new thing that people are.
You're missing the reason. They're not trying to party. They're trying to just like focus.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of Silicon Valley people made it popular because they're all like being more productive and coming up with and being more creative and like.
I guess I understand. Like, if I was doing shrooms, like I wouldn't want to just dip my toe in the pool.
But you're not doing shrooms when you're microdosing. You know what I mean? Get that out of your head. The whole idea of it is to try to reset your body and mind and try to connect to humanity. I mean, you know, that's a stretch, but it's just like it's healing people because we've for so long been like anxiously doing our job and needing to make money and like there's no we need a human reset, you know? To just be like,
yeah, I get it. I honestly kind of want to try it, but then I'm also like, every time I've done shrooms, well, the weird thing is that every time I've done them, they've gotten weaker. I mean, like my first experience was intense, and then they just seem to be like pale in comparison.
Try doing it on ecstasy.
I'm afraid of doing ecstasy. I don't want
See,
my
that
brain.
Seems like such a waste to do two drugs at once because then you don't really understand which drug is doing what to you.
I'm with Wade on that one. I don't like to mix those two because
well, I was most of the drugs that I did was at raves, so like it really helped to like have an abstract experience, you know, like to mix them.
Did you see anything when you were on shrooms or did you just feel all these emotions?
Oh yeah, dude. There was a giant, it was in Colorado at the Mishawaka, big mountain on the side with a laser show happening on the mountain. On the other side, it was all outdoors. There was a river and there's like a kayaker out there, like doing tricks for everyone. And then, there was this big pile of naked people making out, like a fucking giant pile. And I was like, what
Where
the fuck
was this?
Is going
like
on?
San Jose?
Colorado. And okay. I walk all the way up face to face. I get real close. I'm like looking at people making out and looking at me. And I touch it. It's a rock.
What? Oh, so it wasn't people. No. Rock you thought was a bunch of naked people like molded into like that movie Society.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I got so close going like, these are people. These are people. It was,
That's fucking funny. Was it like a giant blob of skin and they were all like.
Yeah, and I didn't want to touch them because I was like, they're looking at me.
That's fucking awesome, dude. That sounds amazing. I'm trying to think because I think with me, like shrooms were, it was more like emotional. And then it was like everything around me looked like it was like this golden horizon of anything could happen. You know, and everything that came towards me was like amazing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like this was like its own story. That was like coming out of nowhere. And then when I met people, like when I was shrooming really hard and I ran into some people that were sketchy, they were terrifying. Like I could just see in their eyes that they wanted to fucking strangle me. Like that was scary.
I went with a group of friends that were all close. They were all dancers. And the light show was so good that they made tunnels of light that you could like dance into. Like it was fucking amazing. So like I
feel like you were in the perfect place for a Willy like trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were dancing into the light. Like that's pretty funny.
You said you haven't done shrooms but have you microdosed shrooms before? No,
right? I think I have microdosed. But I didn't feel like it was because I took like less than I normally did. So I guess that is microdosing. But back in the day, I think you would take two caps and a stem would do the trick and you would put them on like pizza or something, right?
Wait, you said you didn't do shrooms, right?
I've never done shrooms. I microdosed LSD for this podcast.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Really? Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're not joking. Was that what you just did when I saw you leave the frame? Yeah.
Oh, not today. We did an episode with Ben Plummer and we all microdosed.
Oh, that sounds fun, man. I want to do it that way. I think yeah, I would
it was
more,
it was
I
fun.
Would be more entertaining.
You would be exactly as entertaining as you are because you're already drinking and smoking weed and that's exactly what it feels like anyway.
Not really, man. If I'm on acid, you guys, like who knows?
No, you keep misunderstanding. This is microdosing. This is not like full hits of acid where you're like tripping.
Still, I think that
I'm pretty sure you would be worthless as a guest if you.
No, were just, I would be nuts. You guys would just be like, "What the fuck is he doing?"
What's
he
saying? Yeah.
Like, because you guys would be listening to it later, going like, "Fuck, what is he trying to say?" Like, he's trying to say something crazy.
Yeah. It would be 2 hours of us trying to decipher your thoughts.
Right. It kind of sounds like a nightmare.
I was telling the story the other day of when you did salvia and we had you talk through what you were seeing. And do you remember that at all?
I remember it very well, but what I want to know is on this show, I might have listened to that episode. But
I didn't talk about it on an episode, I don't think.
I think you glossed over it. Maybe.
I mean, I might have, yeah.
But anyway, all I know is I was given a very strong salvia. It was like 100X. It was from Mexico, so it was really strong. And I have to preface the story with that it's like not – it wasn't salvia you could buy a micro. This was a lot, and it was super strong. And what I remember, you guys had Martin Olson on and he talked about it, experience like he did, where everything kind of just like stopped time-wise and I was floating above my body just watching everybody. And I could see myself sitting there and I saw everyone kind of like standing around. And I remember thinking that everyone was like a cartoon character. I think Mike was there and Christian. And I just saw them all as like Scooby-Doo characters. Like they didn't look like humans. They looked like, right? Like basically it was Scooby-Doo. Like they were all fucking characters. Like nobody was a real person.
Was he explaining the same thing?
This might have been a different time because when I was there, it was gears or you were in a car or something like that. And then you wound up in like a weird dungeon or something. And that's all I really remember. And this was like 10 years ago.
Well, what happened was, like what I remember happening, everyone else has a different story of what I was doing. Of course, I'm not floating above them, but because they filmed me, right? And then, because then they went, oh, you just like kept repeating, it's me, over and over. And so
it might have been a different one.
But no, I know. But I'm saying I don't remember doing that. Like I was floating above my body. I was watching. So it's like I checked out and like my programming kept me saying it's me over and over.
Willie, have you ever done salvia?
No, I had a panic attack in Vegas while on ecstasy in like probably 2001. No, it was the New Year's for the millennium, 2000, 99, 2000. We went to a rave. I was on ecstasy and I was like, man, the person next to me is fucked up. and he was wearing the 2000 glasses and it was Mr. Belding.
What?
He was at this party and he was fucked up right next to me.
Was it like Fat Belding?
No, he wasn't. I mean, it was probably gearing towards Fat Belding, but he used to like party a lot in Vegas.
Wow. Did you hang out with him though?
I said hey to him. I talked to him for a little bit, but I was fucked up. And I ended up having a panic attack while we were at Denny's getting food or wherever we were. It wasn't Denny's.
I've had crazy experiences at Denny's where either I'm super drunk or high and something bad happens.
But I couldn't eat. I it was so fucking weird. I ordered all this food and then I stood up next to the table and watched everyone eat. Because I was like, I'm gonna die. Like ended up being fine, but I quit all drugs after that. So salvia came around after that. I never did salvia.
So wait, they came after this.
But I do. I'm like trying to sneak back into drugs. You know, like I've been doing. I jump back into weed pretty quickly, but I still have panic attacks on weed all the time. But it's fine. I can get myself through it.
I think the best thing about salvia and. That's what Martin said when he was on your show was that it's over in 5 minutes. That if things get insane, you can relax because it'll be done.
Yeah, but there's a loss of control with it. I mean, I don't know if these videos online are real or not, but you watch people like jump out of windows and
shit. Oh, I get it though. It's wacky because I wasn't in charge of my body. I was like out of it. And I didn't know what happened. I had to watch the video to see what I was doing. That's what's like scary.
But let's talk about these. What are the classifications of drugs? Because I've never actually learned the definition of.
Well,
do they call them Schedule One?
They call them schedules. So in 1970, the Controlled Substances Act, they scheduled drugs into a classification system so that they could. I mean, it was really for. Basically how illegal they were and how much trouble you could get in for them, right? But the system comes down to this. So like a Schedule One drug is highly addictive and has no medical value.
Huh.
And so a Schedule Two might be addictive, but it might have a little more medical value.
Okay. Have they misclassified them? Like what are some Schedule One drugs?
That's the whole fucking episode, man. The whole thing is so crazy how misscheduled this is. Now, in 1970, this was gearing up for the war on drugs. You know, it probably was the start of the war on drugs. This act.
Was it a thing where this was becoming a problem? So they needed to classify stuff so they could categorize it.
Picture it this way. When did Vietnam end?
I want to say like 71 or 70.
Yeah, somewhere in there, the big hippie movement, which ironically was caused by the children of military people, you know.
Like, I know that is
like Jim Morrison's dad was a Navy admiral, right. And anyways,
fuck you, Dad.
The counterculture that happened was everyone was so against war, and hallucinogenic drugs were mind not altering, mind expanding. And so there was this big movement of like, hey, flower children, we're all a part of something. Like we can't be going to war. And so I think that war specifically made them fight drugs and try to take control of the society again.
Right, right. Because they see that drugs are people's, like, people are figuring out that the system's fucked up.
And so before I get, I'll list off some of the drugs in the different schedules, but I will say this. Well, I'll just list them off. Let's get, I don't need to.
Okay, yeah. You're on a good road here. This is fascinating stuff.
So Schedule 1 drugs include heroin, mescaline, MDMA, GHB, psilocybin, ecstasy, methaqualone. I don't know what that is. Quaaludes.
Psilocybin would be shrooms, right?
Yep. Bath salts. LSD. And marijuana.
What's insane to me is that, see, LSD is manufactured where shrooms are natural.
But
well, the most insane thing is that cocaine is not on there.
Yeah. And marijuana. Yeah,
cocaine I thought was going to be in top of the list.
How the fuck is marijuana a Schedule 1 fucking drug? So here's the crazy thing.
Medicine, right? There's medicinal value to marijuana. Which is.
And LSD and ecstasy and psilocybin. Those have – and ketamine, even though ketamine is not number one. They all are having profound medical – they're like miracle drugs. But
wait, what is ketamine? The miracle of ketamine is what is that?
Well, we'll get into it. There's just, it's just not a Schedule 1, so we'll get to it when we get there.
Yeah.
So I'll list off the Schedule 2, but I'll just say this. How the fuck is marijuana a Schedule 1 fucking drug?
Do you think that maybe they didn't do all their research and they just
No, I think that this was a counterculture
attack
and a racist attack. The war on drugs was to put.
Yes, that is so true. They're not trying to educate. They're trying to like eliminate.
Yeah. So fucking marijuana.
It's a shirt.
Listen, I mean, people will argue that marijuana is addictive. It's not. I mean, it's different. It's person to person, but marijuana itself is not addictive. Being high might be addictive.
I think you're addicted to the euphoria. Well, but,
so my question is, like, obviously that's wrong. And now there's a lot of states that are legalizing it, but it's still federally a Schedule 1 drug?
Yeah. So with that being said, if it's legal in your state, there are entities, the government,
the feds can come in. That's why they can't use banks and shit because it's still not legal federally.
They can seize everything that you own and walk away and not charge you with anything.
Huh.
And so in Colorado, the biggest issue when the weed got so big was they couldn't store the money in banks. So they would hire drivers to just drive the money around because it was like a movable safe.
Yeah.
It's just weird to think about how much cash was happening in Colorado.
Oh, I was just going to say it's crazy because it's like doing so much for taxes. And then like if the feds want, they could just come in and destroy all that. Just some rogue fucking FBI agent.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely sketchy. But also, what about that dude from 13th Floor Elevators? He was arrested for weed, right?
Was that a band?
Yeah, they gave him shock treatment. Like he had shock, like brain shock treatment or something like that. And then he came out with music that was like him about talking about aliens. And he got crazier and more. What's his name? Anyway, his music got more insane. I've never heard of this guy. Oh, what's his name? Because music is crazy. Like his music after 13th Floor Elevators, it's like he kind of went ape shit. He's from Texas, which is appropriate now.
This is like a 60s band.
Yeah, they were a popular 60s band. And they have an amazing, like, I think just one album. And that dude.
Are you talking about Rocky Erickson?
Rocky Erickson. He basically, like, he was given shock treatments because I think he was caught with weed or he had some or sold some. And then he basically just lost his mind and he kind of went bonkers in a good way.
Let me ask you this real quick. of those Schedule One drugs, what have you done? Like I've done LSD, ecstasy, GHB, shrooms, marijuana, and I felt like none of those things were addictive.
What's GHB?
I forget. I think if from my memory, it's a human growth hormone.
I haven't done that.
When I took it, man, I ran in a circle for like 10 minutes because it felt so good. I was just running.
I can handle like aggressive drugs like, yeah, like crack, yeah.
GHB is the date rape drug or one of them. It's roofies. GHB is roofies. It's Rohypnol.
Here are some Schedule II drugs. Schedule II drugs or chemicals are defined as drugs with high potential for abuse, with use potentially leading to severe psychological or physical dependence. These drugs are also considered dangerous. Hydrocodone, like Vicodin.
Right.
Methamphetamine, methadone, hydromorphone, that's dilaudid, Demerol, Oxycontin, fentanyl, Dexedrine, Adderall, Ritalin, cocaine.
What about Quaaludes?
Quaaludes were Schedule One.
Okay.
So see, all those Schedule Two ones sound a lot more addictive than the Schedule One ones.
I agree. Hey, man, exactly. Vicodin, people get hooked on that shit.
And well, methadone. That's like the opioid crisis right now.
But also, methadone is what they give you to get off of heroin.
So if you ask me, Schedule One is people who are against the system and or minorities, and Schedule Two is just white people.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Schedule Two is like party drugs and painkillers.
So Schedule Two, because let's imagine that there's all these rich people, they're just taking these prescription drugs to like level their brains out. So they make that not as illegal. You know,
well, but cocaine's on there. Fucking Wall Street was doing cocaine, and I bet you half the FBI was doing cocaine in the 70s.
Cocaine became a thing. That's the decade of cocaine, kind of.
Well, that
over,
and
like,
yeah.
Because it's like I've read books where it's like the 60s was like cocaine wasn't around really, and then in the 70s that's when shit got sketchy. Like motherfuckers were not each other to get a buck.
So I mean, like that's how I see it. I see oh, you're frozen. Shit.
Well, so what are the penalties for Schedule One versus Schedule Two?
I can look up the specific things, but that's why gangs went away, because they're all doing Schedule One drugs. They have stiff penalties.
I froze for a second, didn't I?
And most of the penalties come from distribution, you know?
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Okay. So it's more about like they're catching people who are like poor and selling weed.
I know it's different now, but for the through the 70s and 80s, if you were found with a little bit of any of these Schedule One things, they could toss you in.
Right. That would happen because peyote. You can't catch like, huh?
Peyote. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Is peyote a Schedule One?
Yeah. Peyote, all of the hallucinogens are Schedule One, and I think because Schedule Ones like are the mind expanding ones that make you break down society.
Okay.
So I think it's more the threat of not falling in line.
Yeah, because when you're doped up on Vicodin,
right? Yeah, Vicodin is you're not a threat.
But it doesn't match the description that they gave. You know, like Schedule One.
See, a guy, it's like Philip K. Dick. If you're doped up on like let's say Vicodin, you're like a cog in the wheel. Whereas like if you're smoking weed and you're doing acid, you might hang out with a countercultural group that's like going to like influence you to do some shit. You know, you got some brains.
Yeah, but that's not written in the schedules. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, high potential.
Well, right. Like if the I'm not to be a dick, but if the whole episode is this is a misclassification because of the war on drugs and who they're going after, then I fully agree with you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, and we'll go deeper because shit's about to go down, which is going to fuck everything up in this country.
Okay, why don't we take a quick break, and then when we come back, shit will go down. We're talking to Abed Gaith about Schedule One and Two narcotics and how fucking stupid it is. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We are talking about drugs and their classifications with our friend Abed Gaith. Willie, what's going on with these drugs?
I know, right? Let me list off some schedule 3, 4, and 5 just for reference, and then we'll get into the next thing. Basically, Tylenol with codeine, ketamine is a schedule 3, anabolic steroids, testosterone, schedule 4, Xanax, Soma, Darvin, Darvocet, Valium, Ativan, Ambien. Schedule 5, and these are just some. Obviously, there's a bunch more because everything needs to be classified. Schedule 5.
I've done Soma. Soma's kind of crazy.
Cough preparations with less than 200 milligrams. Well, basically, Robitussin, Lomotil, Modafinil, Lyrica.
Oh, God. I did Robitussin once, and I fucking tripped my balls off.
Really?
2 bottles.
Oh, wow. You did a lot.
I was fucked up. I was like, me and Siobhan, we were both like, we drank a bunch and then we went walking. I fucking tripped my mind gone.
Well, that's purple drink.
Like, it was
right?
A weird feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's scissor. Yeah. But I was fucking loose. I mean, it was like kind of like where you're really hazy. Everything feels like some kind of story. These experiences happen, then this happens, like someone making a fucking mockery of your life. That's what it felt like. It was like strange. Because we had the craziest conversation, and then he started puking like in – we were at the park and he was puking in these like garbage cans. And I was like – there's a comic book I like called Promethea, and I felt like I was in the comic. Like I was like it just felt like life was a comic book. Like things were being drawn in front of me. It was insane. You know what I mean? Like, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, sounds fun, I guess, and also scary.
Yeah, it was kind of scary because I didn't expect to have a kind of like hallucinogenic experience.
So just to drop, I mean, this is the thing that's crazy. So there were some examples of all the things that were on schedules, you know, and knowing that how addictive they are and their medical
value,
yeah, that's good. And tobacco and alcohol aren't on these lists.
Well, no, because I mean they're purely addictive, right? And that's it.
They should be on these lists.
No, because alcohol and tobacco, let's be honest, I mean, I think the three of us know, like, there's no value in that stuff, like, to anything. Like,
well,
it's not.
Listen, with tobacco should be schedule 1 because there's no medicinal benefits and it's the most addictive thing.
Yeah.
Right. And then alcohol, I think there's a certain amount of self-medication you can do with it. It's not the best thing, but it's good for anxiety and I think it has some medicinal properties.
Yeah.
Alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see alcohol being medicinal in the only sense that maybe if you're in a sort of like bummed out mood, having a drink is good.
But picture,
that's about it.
Picture a hot toddy.
When you abuse it, it's never good.
No, well, but it's different based on your brain. You've never had social anxiety or anything like that. And so like it's that there is.
Oh yeah, I've had that.
And you wouldn't think that alcohol is a good medicinal get around for social anxiety.
It's just sort of like a blindness. Like it just throws your brain out of whack so that you can handle anything. It's not good or bad.
I disagree. I think like if you just did like a couple shots, you're not abusing alcohol. And it's just greasing your wheels.
I 100% agree with you, Wade.
I agree with you too. But I'm trying to say that it is not going to be beneficial in a sort of long-term
way.
It's
like, yeah, yeah. For, I mean, forget about that. I'm just saying that, like, they belong – they deserve to be scheduled. And so the reason why they're not is because everything's – you know, it's just a corrupt thing, big business.
Yeah. Yeah, because these guys that are making these lists, they smoke and drink.
And so the next thing that's going to happen, like what – I don't know when or how soon he's going to do it, but Biden's campaign was all had a big argument to decriminalize marijuana.
I honestly applaud him because we need to move forward as a society, and I think that's holding us back. I think about weed being this cause of problems.
I agree with you, but when you learn the specifics, you find out that it's all fucked. Because the way that he's going to decriminalize it is not to uncriminalize it. It's to make it a Schedule II drug.
Oh, really?
And that fucks with everything.
Well, then it belongs to the pharmaceutical companies, yep, right?
Exactly. That's the big pay.
Holy shit. That's where the hands are going into his pocket, or he's going into people's pockets.
So the weird thing is to make it a Schedule II drug doesn't decriminalize it. It almost recriminalizes it because now all the recreational use is out the window because it's Schedule II. I mean, everything will be reclassified. And then also every entity that exists that sells weed is now back on the table for being illegal because it's a Schedule II. And they want everything to go through prescriptions.
Right.
So now if you don't have a deal with the prescription company, then you are illegally making it. And so this is going to fuck everything up. He's not decriminalizing it. I say he's recriminalizing it and then putting all the money into the pharmaceuticals.
You know, I was so suspicious of him though. I always thought there's something behind this guy. He's up to something. I just had that feeling. I hate to say it, but everyone was loving him to death. And I'm you're not loving someone who's good for the office. You're loving him because he's not that guy.
Yeah, that was his whole campaign, you know.
That's what I'm saying. And I was always this guy could be the fucking Antichrist. You know what I mean? We don't know.
Making this a Schedule II drug is going to take the weed out of everyone's hands. And then you have to get prescriptions.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I didn't know this.
I don't mind the taxing.
This sounds very, very I don't believe you, basically. Because the thing is, the states still have their own laws. And even if it is reclassified as a Schedule II, the states can then just retroact their laws to.
What I think is.
The state's arguments with everything is still not going to work with the prescription element.
This just feels very sensationalized. This sounds like fear tactics.
What Willie's saying, this was going to happen.
He's not decriminalizing it by any means. Cocaine is a Schedule II, you know? And so, I know that sounds like fear justification.
There is just no way that he's going to do something that's going to overwrite what however many 13 states or however many have done. When you're a politician, you can see where things are going. And yeah, maybe he'll do some things to line his pockets. I'm sure he will. Every politician does. But I don't think you have to hoard weed and and think that you're never going to be able to get weed again because he changes the classification.
That's the thing. I'm not worried about people not being able to get weed. I'm worried about the pharmaceutical companies being reintroduced to controlling something that they should have no. I mean, here's the thing that CBD with trace amounts of THC in it is so medically beneficial that they are as illegal as it is. They're prescribing it to children.
Right. Because it
works. My brother,
I take it for anxiety. Actually,
my brother recently fell down the stairs because he had a seizure and he almost died. He did die twice. He fucked himself.
Oh, really?
And, he doesn't have health insurance, and so whatever. Forget about all that. But I gave him some of the CBD that we have with trace amounts of THC in it, and when he gets the sensation that he's going to have a seizure, he takes that. He fucking doesn't have a seizure. And like my migraines are gone. I'm just like, the CBD works with THC, trace amount, whatever.
I did spectrum. The same thing, Willie. I had I had mad anxiety and I went through something. I don't want to talk about it, but it was like not even a big deal, but it fucked me up where I couldn't sleep and I was jacked up. And I kind of recently took CBD to just calm down and get to sleep, and it worked like a charm. Like I slept like a baby.
I know that I'm sounding crazy conspiracy theory, but that's what scares me is like all of the things that it's actually curing and helping. Now, I'm not saying that Big Pharma doesn't want to help people and that they want everyone to be sick so they constantly make money, but everything's opportunistic. And so like, yeah, well, let's make money off of the THC. It's not like, let's fuck everyone. It's like, no, we need to make money. And so it's because like
the whole medical industry is famous for finding what ails you and monetizing it. You know, making it fucking that you're going to have to sign up and a doctor and pay for this.
That's for sure. I just don't understand the leap that you guys made where making weed Schedule II automatically puts it in the hands of pharmaceutical companies.
No. But part of his campaign was for the prescription based prescription based is a big part of it. Not the fact that.
But see, what Willie's saying is that it's not necessarily going to happen overnight. But this is probably going to take become the norm. It's on the way.
No, you guys, come on. Maybe you're right. I just don't think so. I think if anything, weed is going to be more accessible. It's going to become more like cigarettes than prescription drugs.
What's that line from Dead Presidents? Like, I wish I had a cig of weed.
but tobacco isn't one of the top two. I mean, it's easier for you to make money off tobacco still. But so, I mean, that's the thing. And so that's one thing. The other thing that I wanted to talk about too was like these healing effects of these hallucinogenic drugs, you know, like, are you frozen?
Is it, did you know that ecstasy was invented by, I think his name was Alexander Shulgin, and he invented it just so he could cure a relationship so that people that were having problems in a relationship could take ecstasy and work out what they were doing. That's what he intended when he invented it. And then it became a part.
Yeah.
Him and his friends in Berkeley were taking.
So like, I want to hear your special case story, Abed, but I want to set it up by going into that a little bit. Like, so like Special K was like found in like the early 70s and they gave it to, people in Vietnam to give to people that were injured because, you know, before they were giving out morphine to the soldiers. Uh-huh. And so what the sad part is when somebody got hurt and shot up and needed some morphine just to get rid of the pain, people didn't know how much to give. And so like they accidentally overdosed their buds by just giving them too much morphine. And so the reason
I can't handle morphine. I've had it from like surgery or whatever. And it fucking almost like I wanted to die. I was so out of it.
Yeah.
It was not fun. I never felt like kind of like nauseous. It's like nauseous to like your whole body is just going to fucking sink. Like melt.
But because of all the people using it in Vietnam, you know, like, oh, this actually has a lot of tranquilizing effects, whatever. That's how it became a horse tranquilizer. And then because it worked well and you couldn't overdose on it. And
it was for people you're saying that had shell shock, right? They like saw some bad shit.
I mean, so whatever. If you lost your leg and you needed some pain relief, it just give you Special K. Like they had the little kits, you know,
to see that your leg was back.
Well, you wouldn't.
It would be like a video game. Like,
it didn't have hallucinogenic effects. Like you have to take a lot to get those effects.
Right.
But so anyways, that eventually turned into a horse tranquilizer, cat tranquilizer, and then people started snorting it for the party effects, you know, and then like people started trying to hallucinate on it. Well, like Special K now, it's not called, I mean, whatever, Special K is a street name, but they use it to help veterans that have like post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, and whatever. I'm just saying that like this quote unquote, it's a Schedule 3, but it's hallucinogenic, like terrible tranquilizer drug, like is helping to heal people. Because, you know, in 1970, yeah, when they created the schedule, it also took away the ability for most things to like study them, because you could still study it, but it wasn't, you wouldn't make money off of it because like, well, this is a legal drug. Why are you studying how to make money?
They're only studying Schedule 1, right?
Well, no, I'm just saying that the Schedule 1 drugs haven't been tested fully because they were Schedule 1 drugs.
Oh,
they're so illegal that most people weren't doing tests on them, because who's going to fund that? But now they're starting to do all this medical and health testing on this, on all these Schedule 1 drugs, and they're actually have really high medical value.
I would say, so you're saying that ketamine was used to like help people, like
Well, they're using it now to help people, but and that's a Schedule 3. But the Schedule 1 drugs, you know, like MDMA. Mushrooms, LSD, weed. People are using them all to, and they're working.
Of course they're working. I think like what we said earlier about.
Well, but hang on though. Is that working in the same way where I drink to relieve social anxiety? Like how do you know they're working?
I think they are working because I read somewhere, I don't want to just say that, like I read somewhere, but someone was saying how when you do shrooms, I believe it's shrooms, like it resets your brain. Like it's good for your brain because it basically resets your emotions and sets you like on a different, you know what I mean? Like you kind of get like a sort of – people said it's like a good drug for that. Like it creates this sort of like state of like overcoming stuff.
Well,
does that make sense?
Shrooms is one thing, but like all these other like ketamine or whatever. I don't even know what ketamine does. It's a tranquilizer.
We used to do it like after raves to like chill out and dance the morning away. Cause like if you do ecstasy, you're up for 18 hours, you know, whatever.
10 30 hours.
And then so like, the ketamine, like I felt like I describe it as like feeling like a marionette. Like I wanted to dance and I felt like.
Right. And I'm not saying that like these things are not helping people, but I just don't, I wonder how you can actually classify something as medicinal, you know, like,
well, if
like I keep saying, like, if I drink a beer, I feel a lot better than if I don't.
So but see, that's good. You're putting it in the way, like if it works for me, it works for everyone. Not everyone.
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm saying obviously if I did ketamine, I would feel great. Does that mean that I'm better for doing it? Does that mean I should get a prescription?
No. Well, here's the thing. When they made
and if anything, these consciousness drugs are giving you perspective, are opening.
Yeah, but you're still talking.
Hold on. Yeah, dude. I mean, here's the thing. What I'm getting at, like the actual facts of it are they're not the studies that they're doing now, they're not giving a party amount to people. So it's not about tripping. You know what I mean? It's about, there are entities that are funding this research, even though it's all illegal, because it's working. And so like, you know, like specifically CBD has done so much, like especially with like seizures and like a bunch of.
Well, see, that's interesting. And then like weed with glaucoma and stuff like that. I've never understood really what weed does for glaucoma, but like I get
it. Well, it's an herb. Thing. I mean, it's a natural herb. So it's basically.
Well, but you know, beer is a plant, you know, like just because it's natural doesn't mean.
But an herb is different than where alcohol comes from. Cause an herb is an actual like.
Well, but you're picking and choosing your arguments. I mean, like herbs can be poison.
Oh, yeah, but that one isn't.
Right. Look, do you understand how you're cherry picking these arguments?
No, I get what you're saying, and I'm not coming from the statement of dude is from the earth, it's fucking all good. Like I'm saying there are drugs that definitely do damage, but I think any drug, if just administer the right amount, can have medicinal like benefits.
I think you should. Like, I think you should cut your video. Now.
Even whiskey, they used to babies. They used to rub whiskey on the baby's gums to get them to stop crying. Right?
It's so choppy, dude. I think you need to cut.
Did you guys
your
read
video.
That book?
How about? Are you hearing Willie?
Let me cut my video. I hear Willie. Yeah, I'll cut the video. Hang on. Is that better?
Well, who knows? We'll have to see.
I think it'll be better that way. Yeah, yeah. I was getting ugly, like my face. I was starting to like. Did you see the lines start to form?
Yeah, that's why we asked you to turn your video off. So I'm a little.
Is it about?
All I'm saying. I'm just being devil's advocate about. I would love to know if there's an answer to how do you know if something is medicinal, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, so that's ultimately that's a big part of, I know we've already hashed over this, but like this Controlled Substances Act of 1970 pretty much hasn't been like, sure, a new drug will get scheduled, but it really pretty much hasn't been reevaluated since then. And so they've done so. They have so many test results of things actually helping that they just need to reclassify everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And well, you know what?
Let's do this.
Hey, you know what guys? I
think so? Oh, okay. What do you think of it?
Honestly, Wade, the funny thing about me and you is that we don't argue. I think both of us are saying the same thing, but we're just. For some reason, we can't cross that bridge. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I was just more academically curious about like how you measure medicine. Like, what is fucking medicine? You know?
Yeah, it's very. It's
yeah.
It's,
that's what I'm saying. Like, we're not arguing. We're just saying something in a different way.
So, I would like to have each of us reclassify drugs.
Yeah, pick and choose. Pick and choose a few. Yeah, right.
Well, that's like a fun game, actually.
Yeah. So Schedule 1, very, very addictive, no medicinal properties. Schedule 2, what's Schedule 2's definition?
Just a little bit less. That's all it is like levels of that.
A little less addictive and has some medicinal properties?
Yeah.
Well, what if it's more addictive, but it has medicinal properties?
I mean, yeah, exactly. That's why there's 5. And that's why it's blurred.
Oh, they're all over the place. Well, yeah. We can just do 1 and 2. I don't 3, 4, 5. Like
I know, right?
Isn't it process of elimination? So, like, what we don't say is going to go into all those other categories. You don't have to think
sure,
about.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, what do you guys think? Who wants to go first?
I mean,
why don't we do this? Why don't we all? We'll start with a drug, and then we all categorize it.
Or we could do. Okay. Yeah. No, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, so let's start with
what's the worst? Heroin, right? Meth. Heroin, meth are the same.
Well, hang on.
Same.
Don't speak for
all
of us.
No, I don't know about that. I think of heroin.
Let's just do heroin. Abed, what do you think heroin?
I'd say heroin is number 2 less medicinal. Heroin's like the most addictive drug, though.
No. So Schedule 1 is basically no medicinal value and very addictive.
That's heroin. Definitely.
Yeah, I agree. I think heroin's schedule one.
Yeah, me too. I think meth is there too. Do you think different for meth?
Meth is there too. Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to repeat this.
Meth is number one. Meth is schedule one.
What was your? I thought you were going to stick up for meth a second ago.
Me? No, yeah. I'm saying meth isn't like heroin in the sense that it's an upper where heroin's a downer.
Oh well, that's yeah. Effects are not what we're categorizing. Yeah.
Right.
So
I'll say this for meth. It's well, also I don't know the difference between meth and like Adderall, but like Adderall is great.
They're like the same, I think.
Yeah, I mean they basically are.
But then Adderall is on that list, and it's like Schedule 5 or something.
But meth,
Adderall is actually, you know, Adderall's I would say stronger than meth.
You've done meth?
Yes.
I've done
meth with acid.
I'll tell you what the difference is. The difference is meth is homemade while Adderall is.
I'd say Adderall's stronger because
big pharma made it.
Yes, it's made in a lab, so it's way more effective.
Really? You think it's more effective?
Fuck yeah, dude. That shit's scientific, bro.
Well, but they're not trying to turn people into junkies, though. And meth people are like scary as shit.
Meth is fucked up because it's cut with like Clorox and shit.
Yeah, the filler that they use to make the pills are what fuck everyone up.
But if you take the pure meth, you know, if it's just like that, whatever the chemical is, it's like
they lose their teeth from the Clorox.
Exactly.
They lose their teeth from the Clorox. Is this real or are you making shit up?
No, that's real. I know my shit.
Okay. Yeah. So meth is schedule one. What about cocaine? Where do you guys put that?
That would be schedule one.
I mean, it's one, but it's so.
But you know,
the only reason why it's not two is because there's no medicinal value to it.
You know, but it can't. Like, let's say I shoot you, Willie. Like, I shoot your hand off, and you're like, my fucking hand, Aubin. Why? I would put cocaine on the wound to like calm you down, right?
Okay, yeah.
Because it numbs like you're going to be numb until I get that arm back sewed back on.
Is that true?
I think so. It used to be used as from dentists would use it to like numb your mouth when they were gonna like drill the fuck out of you. So it has that medicinal value of it's a good
That is true. But it's
the okay.
I'd put it in schedule two. I think I'm
that's probably why it is two. I forget about all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay. So we can put it in schedule two, I guess. But like, I think what people ran up against when they were ranking these things is like, there's a way better, safer way to do this. Like, so we have Novocaine. We have Novocaine now. We don't need to use cocaine.
Well, see, Novocaine is pretty much the same, except you can't snort Novocaine and get like, you know, your jollies.
Yeah, it's. That's why it's better, Abed.
What's his face in Little Shop? Wasn't he snorting that or sniffing the laughing gas? Right? What was that?
No, but that's not Novocaine. That's Whippets.
So what do you think? So let's get into ecstasy.
I think ecstasy is schedule one for me.
Schedule one for me. Do you guys know what an ETard is?
Well, yeah, but doing too much of any I know it happens quicker, but ecstasy
it kills. Like, I knew a girl who was hooked on ecstasy. It's basically kills emotions. It's like the more you do it, the more it's going to deaden certain like.
Yeah. But harming you doesn't what classify it as a one.
It's still not. I don't think it's. I mean, here's what I'm saying. I think it's more damaging than it is good.
Let him schedule it the way he wants.
But the schedule has not. You're right. But the schedule has nothing to do with the damage.
Well, but it has something to do with the addictiveness, right? And so, if you're doing it enough where you have no emotions, then doesn't that make it a little addictive?
I would put it in one.
I think it's addictive.
I felt that ecstasy was not addictive at all, and that people did it. I felt like I knew
people that were addicted to it.
But what were they doing?
They were just going out dancing every weekend.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like dancing on ecstasy is not the same as being addicted to.
You're right. You're totally right. It's more of a.
Really, it's fine. If you want to schedule it too, go ahead and schedule it. But me and Abed are going one.
I'm going one. I've met people that are hooked on it. It's like weird that it, because I didn't feel that and you didn't, but
whatever. I mean, I'm not trying to convince you different. I'm trying to explain myself more like, you know.
You know what's interesting about this game, you guys, because I'm fascinated right now, is it's interesting because all three of us, even though we disagree, we're still trying to get the other person to agree. It says a lot about our personalities. You know, like we think like, I'm right, and I'll tell you why you should agree with me.
No. Well, I mean, you're right about that, but I'm more trying to not argue with you, but say, hey, the classification is only addictiveness and medical value. And I'm like, there is medical value to ecstasy, and I don't feel like it's really addictive. I think that if you are a part of the club scene,
and it's addictive.
Well, I mean, I think that it may be addictive, but I don't know anybody who is addicted to it. And like we'd roll like 30 deep, and like we all did ecstasy. Yeah, but up until like
2 weeks ago, I didn't know anyone who hit COVID. I mean,
sorry.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying I know that it could be classified as addictive, but when I picture.
All right. Well, how long are we going to talk about ecstasy?
Oh yeah, what's next?
Well, Mike, I say ecstasy is a schedule three, is not a schedule one or two. I think it's
you know what? If we all can't agree, we'll put it in three.
Wait, what's three? I thought we weren't messing with three. What is three?
I'm saying three as it's not one or two, so it's whatever's left. I think that's what I thought.
Okay, so you're throwing it into the pool. Yeah. So there's
There's
the high dive and then the regular dive, and then everyone else is in the pool.
Yeah. So what about, I mean, the only other big one I can think of that should be a one is PCP.
Well, we got to talk about weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, weed is definitely in one.
No.
What?
You're fucked up.
Huh? It's addictive. Weed is not a one. It's addictive.
Oh, whoa. This is where we find out that Abed agrees with the government.
I mean, look, it's addictive and it's medicinal.
Wow.
But one is not medicinal at all and highly addictive.
I think you want to
put it in two. Oh, then it's two. It's two then.
See, this is interesting because I have not found any addictive properties to when I smoke weed.
Wait, so one is it's addictive but not medicinal is what you guys say.
Yeah. That's why, like, heroin is
not in that category at all.
Well, you're saying that it's addictive, but it also has medicinal properties, which is two. Yeah.
That's so I would put it in two.
And I'm putting it in the pool. I think it's totally safe.
I'm putting it in the pool also.
Well, I put it in two just because I think it's medicinal, right?
I think it's the most medicinal thing out there.
Well, you said it was addictive, though. That's why you put it in two. It is addictive.
I'm going to say it's addictive. Yeah.
I don't know. I disagree. I don't think it's addictive.
Wow. I think that if people think that they're
other. Is this a shocking revelation?
No.
It's a little shocking in terms of this show. I think it's probably the most shocking thing that's ever happened is that you would put weed and schedule two and you smoke it more than Willie or I, and we would put it in the pool.
I mean, but I don't think I'm addicted to it.
But maybe that's why you're putting it in two, because you're secretly addicted and you're crying for help right now.
You have a good point, though. I'm not going to deny that you have a point.
All right. What are the other big ones?
Yeah, right. What about Adderall?
Oh, that would be it is addictive. And it doesn't have medicinal value. So it's a one to me.
Okay. See, this is where personal experience is clouding everything. Because
It's definitely addictive, man, because it is like meth. Where it,
no, I'm not arguing the addictive, but you claiming that has no medicinal properties when people take it just to feel normal.
Well, but I think it does. Okay, can I say this, that it does a lot more damage than it does help? Does that make sense?
You can say that, but I'm just saying this is where we disagree. It? Like, you don't have to stick up for your point of view. All I'm saying is you took Adderall and it made you like buzz and bounce off the walls, right?
Yeah, I was actually very productive.
Well, then don't you understand the medicinal properties of it? It focused your mind and made you productive.
Yeah, but in a way where I was afraid, because I feel like I could get hooked on that stuff. And it's like, it scared me if I like was off of it.
See, but you're, oh man, you're once again, you're cherry picking what you do and don't like based on personal stuff, which is what we're all doing. Yeah. All I'm saying is like, there are people who have to take Adderall because they're OCD, and you might be one of them.
This is what I think. Adderall for sure helped me, but I was afraid of getting hooked on it. Does that make sense? Because I can see that, like, yeah, this would help, but I think, like, I can be this way without it.
I'm going to throw Adderall in the pool because I've taken it a bunch of times and I have never once been like, I need Adderall right now.
I'm going to put it in three also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, me too.
I'm the same. I feel the same way.
Like people don't OD on Adderall. I mean, same thing. The consequence doesn't affect the schedule.
You know what I thought?
Is it dangerous in that way?
I don't think anyone would ever want to, because like if you've had enough Adderall, you don't want more. You know.
Word. All right.
What else? What else? Shrooms? Did we do shrooms?
Oh yeah, let's do shrooms.
Shrooms would be. They're not addictive, and I think they're medicinal. So does that make them two?
I've not done shrooms. I would throw them in the pool.
Yeah, Abed, what you're saying is the pool, and I'd say three, the pool also. I think mushrooms are highly medicinally valuable.
But not addictive.
Not addictive at all, yeah.
LSD, same thing, right? We can all agree. Too.
Yeah, LSD.
Although LSD, like... And I know we keep going back to this. If you take too much of it, it's bad. But that's for all of these, right?
But LSD, like somebody having a bad trip is bad. But like most, like you can't really OD on LSD.
Well, but what about acid flashbacks? Is that an urban legend or is
that a real thing? I had one for sure.
Well, it gets stored in your like spinal fluid, and so like some point,
I've done acid, it'll
pop out and like remind you what it felt like.
I've told this story a lot, but I had an acid Thanksgiving and an acid Christmas and the same year. And I think around January or maybe February, I had an acid flashback that was like terrifying. Like I was at a video store and I saw all the movies just jump off the shelf. And I turned around and went like, what the fuck? Like I just
out of nowhere. Were you
out of nowhere? I was just standing there working, and then it's just like all of the movies just leapt off the shelf, and then it was like, "Whoa, what the fuck was that?" That kind of thing. Like,
did you say it out loud?
Yeah, I did one of those. Like, I think customers were in the store, and I was just like, "Whoa, what the fuck?" And then everybody around me was like, "Huh? Are you all right? Like, you guys didn't see that? Like, Jesus."
I mean, I guess I'll put it in the pool, but it makes me want to. It makes me want to put it in. Like schedule two.
Well, I don't think the acid. I agree with your sentiment. I don't know how common they are.
I would put acid in two just because I have friends who they do acid a lot, and I think it is addictive because they're doing it more. I personally would not do it a lot.
All right. What else?
I guess. Out of the top one, what about – we've done most of the main ones. What about peyote?
I would say peyote is not addictive yet medicinal. So does that put it in three?
Yeah, me too. I know nothing about it except the healing parts of it.
Yes.
I've never done it. I don't know anything about it. I know that Native Americans, or whatever they want to be called now, I guess just natives, used it for like their vision quests and stuff like that, which I guess is medicinal. But then also, like, I'll smoke weed to enjoy a movie more. So is that medicinal?
Peyote's actually, right? Like, I want to do it, but I'm a little scared of it. Does that make sense?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, I mean, that's, I'm scared of shrooms and other hallucinogens.
I don't think shrooms are as scary as like peyote.
What about, well, let's do the other one we talked about before. What about salvia?
Salvia would be, it's
obvious. I would just not prescribe addictive. One because I see no medical benefit.
I'm going to say this, that when I did salvia, like that strong stuff, about, I want to say the following week, I was never more confident or more assured of myself. I might have like written Toon Wolf at the time. Like I was just very, very like confident and assured and like so just clear-headed.
Interesting. So it, for you, it was more of like a LSD kind of thing where it opened up a part of you.
Yes, exactly.
Huh.
But once again,
in light of this new evidence, maybe I'll put it schedule two.
Put it schedule two.
I'm down with two. It makes me like, I love the idea of, because, you know, the persona of it takes away the ability for people to be like, oh, it could be healing. It's like, man, somebody jumped through a window, you know?
It was also a really weird time because it hit and it was legal and people were doing it, and then it was illegal, and then there was like what's it called, synthetics. There was like synthetic salvias, and those were like really fucking people up, and like synthetic weed fucks people up, and I don't even know what that is.
Salvia it was coming around the same time Four Loko was popular, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was part of the 2007 fun times.
It was after Mountain Dew peaked.
Right. Wasn't there like Scissor? People were down for that too.
Oh, yeah, I think Scissor was a little after.
Okay. Feels like
so our only real schedule ones that we agree on is heroin and coke, right?
We put cocaine as two. We got heroin and meth as one.
Oh, you guys talked me into two because of you could rub it on your gums. I still think it's schedule one, but if we're going by votes.
Well, I'm going to change my vote too. I think cocaine.
Did you know that Sherlock Holmes did a lot of cocaine?
So what? Yeah,
but he's a fictitious character.
Yeah, but I mean, he did it for a reason. I mean, he's a detective, though. Don't think about fiction. Think about the fact
people that did opium back then. People did opium. They would go to opium dens and shoot up. Not medicinal, man. It was a problem.
Sherlock Holmes like a superhero? I mean, he knew something.
I mean, Superman can't do kryptonite, and none of that means anything because it's all fake.
Did someone write a comic yet, maybe, where Superman has like a kryptonite binge or like a bender? That'd be hilarious.
Oh, yeah. He's like he's doing BDSM with kryptonite.
didn't he do that in like Superman 2 where he decided not to be Superman anymore? And he just
you're thinking of part 3 where he gets.
Two was Richard Pryor, right?
Yeah. No, 3 was Richard Pryor. It's my favorite one. But he gets. What happens? Something happens where he becomes like fucked up. I can't remember.
He just doesn't have his powers anymore for some reason. I thought it was because
where the kid goes, Superman, are you all right? Right?
No, that's Superman. Two. I wouldn't know. That's two, man.
I thought it was three because they fight in the junkyard, right? That's the best scene in the movie.
What about alcohol?
Alcohol belongs in number one for addictive, and it's not medicinal. Or wait,
okay.
It is medicinal.
Here's what I would say.
I would listen.
I don't think that alcohol is addictive. I think people misinterpret the effects of alcohol and they think they need it when they should really just be on like antidepressants or something like
that. That's a really good point. Like you put it in a way that I didn't even think about, but it's got to be addictive. I mean, I'm sort of addicted to it. I guess I'm not, but.
Well, they say that the alcoholism gene is a gene. And so I don't know if it's addictive or if there are people who can be more susceptible to the addiction.
I'm susceptible. I'm Irish. So it's in my blood, I think.
Well, that's diminishing the Irish.
Is it? I'm Irish, so I can say that. But I can say that because I'm Irish, though.
Yeah, but I'm Irish, and I take offense to it.
Well, we're getting dark here, aren't we, Wade? This is dark. Poor Willie is like, Jesus, these guys need
well,
to.
Well, I mean, like, I'm Asian, so, like, I have the thing where I don't break down alcohol properly. I don't know how that's going to affect me in the long run of drinking too much my whole life. But, like, if I drink too fast, I turn red. And
it's because you're Filipino, correct?
Yeah.
You know what the problem with this is? I feel like we've stumbled on to the reason that there should not be a categorization for these things is because every drug affects everybody differently. And there's no way that, like, some fucking dumb fucking senator or whoever made up this list took account of everyone who has ever done these drugs. And so it's all bullshit.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm with you on that, Wade. I 100% agree.
Because so even we who are fun loving party dudes can't agree on how to categorize these things.
But that's why the psychedelics are all in one, because they're dangerous to a way of society if you're overly religious and overly government related.
And that I 100% totally agree with. I think, like, you were right on when you said in the beginning that, like, and Abed chimed in too, that it's a counterculture that they were afraid of. It's like, we can't have people be free thinkers, and that's what those drugs are doing, right? And so, and that's still the way it is. Like, not to be too fucking whatever about this, but, like, we don't fund our schools. We want everyone stupid. We want everyone to just, like, toe the line, get into the fucking system of either work or go to jail, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they need people to pay mortgages and to pay taxes and to have normal jobs. Like, that's their interest to keep, like, it's like a Philip K. Dick book. I keep saying that, but you want everyone to be like a machine. It's like feeding the machine.
Crazy thing about now is that so many people are making money on the internet just, I don't want to say being creative, but exploring the social, the fucking social money that's happening right now, social app money, whatever.
Wait, I'm sorry, I'm not following.
I know. I'm taking a step in a weird direction, but just
he's
saying
talking
like,
about like, wait, if you and I, if these were the Channel 101 days when you and I were making videos, we'd be stars. You know, we'd be making our MySpace videos would be huge. Right.
But just saying that, like for the future, there's a lot of, like, it's even dumbing us down more because.
But it's like the era of everyone has their own show, and it's like you can make money off your own show.
But I guess the reason why I bring this up is because I feel like the big microdosing push and all of these psychological, psychoanalytic, the new future of, hey, we can actually repair our minds and our bodies by doing these things that we thought were dangerous drugs forever.
Yeah.
And these are natural things that like humans have been doing forever, but they just weren't doing, they didn't have parties.
I would love because, like, you know how you still have hangups about like growing up in Christianity and like being ashamed about like jerking off or whatever. Like that's where I'm at with like drugs. And that's why I'm still afraid of like LSD and shrooms and stuff like that, because I still have this like lingering, like growing up, like, oh, drugs are bad. Like they'll ruin your life thing. And I would love if a doctor would come out and be like, okay, listen, wipe the slate clean. LSD is actually good for you. If this and this and this and this and all that shit.
Wait, it would be great.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would do LSD with you and show you that it's not that bad. I think you're like me. I'm exactly like you. I have so much fucking shit in my head of my parents telling me not to do stuff, but
right.
And it makes it exciting. But I'm saying you get over that, Wade. And I'll take you with me.
I will say, man, the research is out there that shows that, I mean, just don't do too much.
No, I know, but as long as it is considered the sort of taboo thing, it's always going to be in the back of my mind that, like, oh, this could go bad. You hear about bad trips and stuff like that, and it's enough to, like, have my mind not be ready to ever
do it. Yeah, but you can do that walking out on the street every day. That's why, like, Wade, you're going to get hit by a car. Don't go out there. And so you won't go out there.
Here's the crazy thing. Like, I've microdosed acid, but when I did acid, I was also on ecstasy. And so, like, I've only, like, candy flipped and done all the crazy things, and I've had weird, but, like, I was surrounded by people that I trusted. I only bring this up because I'm like, well, after my panic attack on ecstasy, I can't do all these things anymore. I can't do DMT, and I want to, because there's a little bit of me going, like, well, don't freak out. And I can't stop that voice right now. And so I can't do full on shrooms or LSD anymore, ketamine, because I used to do them, but I'm like, now I can't. I'm backwards. Just saying that,
it's
like,
it's a chicken or the egg thing. Like, as long as you have these thoughts about that it could go bad, it almost feels like it will go bad. It's like,
see, Wade,
in the Matrix, when she says, like, don't worry about the lamp. And then he knocks over the lamp, and then she goes, if I wouldn't have said anything, would you have knocked that over? That's my relationship with LSD, where I'm like, I could have a bad trip just because I'm self-prophesizing it.
Yeah. See, Wade, honestly, man, I feel like I could fix you. I feel like I know – I think we and you are more alike than you realize. So
offense, but, like, you talk way too much for me to be on acid around you. I would get sucked into an Abed hole.
I feel bad because Wade is 100% right. And I wish I could just, like, give him these thoughts. Like, I would hand him over.
Well, that's
– what's funny? One day I'll try it.
When I picture, like, our relationship, Abed, I feel like we – like, the reason why we work together okay, like, at parties, we get into basically the equivalent of a K-hole with each other. We're like, we'll fucking talk about a universe amount of stuff in, like, a few seconds, and then, like, we're cool with it.
Yeah, I feel like me and Willie are boarding the alien ship. Like, we're about to take off, and we want to go. But not everyone's into that journey. You know,
like, I've felt people walk away from us multiple
times. Yeah, I know. I have so many memories, Willie, of, like, me and you getting stuck, and then the person just going, like, all right, I don't really want to be in this world.
All right. Well, we should wrap it up. This was great. I feel like we had a good conversation about drugs and the misrepresentation of drugs. And
I also feel like I'm a lot better, closer to Wade. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What, through this conversation, we've formed a new bond?
Maybe. I think because when I was watching old 101 stuff, I started to feel like I should have been better friends with you. Does that make sense?
No, I love you, Abed. Let's hang out anytime, man.
I just felt like I was never receptive enough of your what makes you a good person. Does that make sense?
Oh, well, I appreciate that, because I do put off a bad first impression vibe. So it's always nice to hear somebody come around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing.
Thanks for being here. Do you want to continue on to the bonus episode, or do you got to go?
No, I don't have I can do that.
All right, cool. So thanks for listening, everybody. Subscribe to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We'll keep this conversation going with Abed Gaith. I mean, that's it. Send us an email, wadeandwilly@gmail.com.
Abed, do some quick plugs.
Plugs. I have a comic book coming out on Oni Press. It's with Justin and my brother and Michael Tanner. And Francis
Radical. Paul.
And it's like a comic book. It's been we've been working on this for a long time, but it's coming out in July 7th. But May, I believe, 21st, you can order it.
All right.
Yeah.
Where?
You just have to go to, like, your local
Oni Press. Oni Press. Keep an eye out for it. What's it called?
Orcs in Space.
Nice.
But it's
Orcs in Space. Great.
Yeah, it's a labor of love, actually. But also, you could get it easily just going to – if you go to Screen Rant, there's a website now where there's an article, and then the first 10 pages are up. So you could try the comic before you buy
it. That's cool. All right, talk about your audio.
Oh, and I do we just finished episode 6. We're doing an audio show for Frequency 101. It's the channel 101 for audio, and it's called Enter the Dark. And then we have also another show called Puppety Bits. So we have two shows. Both are by me and Savan. So those are Frequency 101. It's like a podcast.
And are you doing any podcasts right now? You're not, right?
I'm trying to do something. It's just we'll see what happens. I don't want to talk about it, or we'll see what happens.
Word. Okay.
Maybe cool, on the man. Bonus episode I'll mention it.
Okay, cool. Do you have a Twitter that you release this stuff on?
Yeah, Abed G on Twitter.
And, Abed G, yeah. Nice. You pulled that handle?
I was on Twitter in like 2006.
Cool, man. Congratulations.
Like before the fake Abed showed up.
All right. Well, let's not talk about that. We'll talk all about your hatred of community Abed on the paywalled episode.
For the record, I don't hate the guy.
All right, for the record, but behind the paywall, we'll get to the real stuff.
It's complicated, as they say.
All right, dude, thanks for being here. Thanks everyone for listening. Remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.